Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's still a miracle worker. Praise God. Well, the last couple of days, I've just been setting the introduction, if you will, of the stage for an amazing and wonderful miracle with a lot of spiritual significance for us today, because He was dealing with some of his disciples, if you were. It was referring to Mary and Martha and Lazarus being raised from the dead. There had arisen controversy just before that, the account that is recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. It speaks of Jesus had escaped, if you will, out of their hands. They were ready to stone Him because He had healed a man born blind from birth on the Sabbath day. And when a message came to Him in the beginning of chapter 11 that Lazarus was very ill, He delayed 2 days. He was being sent for by Martha and Mary, who, as I shared in the introduction, if you will, the last few days, that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was a special relationship. He had obviously spent time with them, He and His disciples. And He makes the determination in verse 15, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." And He delayed 2 days. And they had thought He was referring to, He said, Lazarus is sleeping. That's how the scriptures refer to the death of a believer. He made it very clear, Lazarus is dead. 3 words. And because there was so much controversy and danger to the Lord, Thomas says, well, let's, after Jesus said that, he said, he turned around to his fellows and he said, "Let's go that we may die with him." It was a dangerous thing to go back. And when Jesus came in verse 17, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. Now, let me share some passages of scripture, because I really believe this is speaking to many who are listening today, that this is a message you need to hear, because He is ministering to those who are very committed in their service and understanding of who Jesus was, why He came, what was His purpose. And in Psalm 119 and 32, the Word tells, "I will run in the way of Thy commandments when Thou shalt enlarge my heart." Some of you have been under, well, what, self-condemnation, if you will. I'm not saying it's condemnation of the enemy, but you've been repeatedly upset with your failures, with your inability to be who you want to be. And the psalmist is saying, in terms of the law of the Lord, the things that God is asking and requiring of us, he's saying, "I'm not just going to walk, I will run with purpose, with vigor, with energy when something happens, when you, Lord, when Thou shalt enlarge my heart." In other words, giving us not just spiritual understanding, but purpose and the ability and strength to accomplish what He desires for each and every one of us. A similar passage in Isaiah 54 and 2, the Lord is speaking through the prophet, "Enlarge the place of thy tent." Wherever you are today, that's what God's speaking to all of us. There is a place we have resided. That's our tent, if you will. But open it up, enlarge, spare not. In other words, just reach out by faith to larger horizons. Lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. Verse 3 speaks of increase. Break forth on the right and the left. The seed of his people will inherit the Gentiles. Desolate cities were to be inhabited. And so what I believe, God, we're praying for revival, are we not? We're praying for families, loved ones to be saved. We're praying that the signs and wonders that were so evident in the time of Jesus and the disciples, the early church, would be restored. Well, in order for revival to break out, we need to have personal revival. And so one of the best ways to make Scripture come alive is to use the imagination that God has given to us. Try to imagine if you were there. For example, we've been reading about the tragic death of Lazarus, and people were mourning, and it was a very upsetting situation, especially since they had a very close relationship with Jesus, not just Lazarus, but the sisters. And this is a powerful tool to use our imagination. And so I have shared, really, the first 16 verses of that chapter. We just read it in chapter 11. And we need to put ourselves there. And Jesus appeared hard-hearted, if you will. Here, these beloved friends of his came, sent the word. Actually, they didn't go. They didn't leave Lazarus. I would say he was very ill. And so they sent a message. But Jesus didn't do anything. He was apparently hard-hearted by his inaction, and yet he goes and it clearly explains to his disciples, I didn't do this, nevertheless, to the intent that ye may believe. God was doing something, and many times there's some of you don't understand. You have prayed, you have are fervent in your prayer life, you have pressed into God, and you don't know why things aren't moving. You can't understand. We're dealing with the issue of unanswered prayer, and that apparent hard-heartedness by Jesus wasn't his answer. Sometimes the things we go through, beloved, what you're going through right now is beyond natural reasoning and human comprehension. You don't understand. And naturally, that's the human nature. Look at all that Job went through. They and his comforters, they sat there for a week. I really commend them for that. They saw how great his suffering was, and they just kept their mouths closed. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do when someone is going through a very difficult trial. But then they began to rationalize and just basically say, well, Job, you're in the place you are because of some sin in your life. You're the problem. Have you heard that? Have you had that accusation come against you? No matter what's going on, it's basically your fault. And for the tenderhearted among us, we tend to say, oh, I guess it must be. Well, no, that's not the situation at all. But we need to know, how do we stand? What's our spiritual stance, if you will, when it seems and appears that the heavens are brass? By Jesus' refusing to go immediately with haste and concern, he actually gave far above what they were asking. So now, I would like to read verses 16 through 27, where we see disappointment and tragedy is reversed by the presence of Jesus. Let's just share that. Well, let's start with verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. This was Lazarus. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews, because the news had gotten around, they came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, she's the get-it-done gal, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. This is just an account, okay? But let's use our imagination, as I had encouraged you. Martha, she was the one, she was the one that Jesus had to say, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Why don't you, Mary's chosen the better part. That did a meal need to be prepared? Of course, he wasn't rebuking her for that, but it's priorities. What's the most important thing at that time? And Mary had chosen the best part. She was at the feet of Jesus listening. But he, as I said, as we looked at, read that that verse 5 of chapter 11, Martha is mentioned first. It says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary. So often we want to identify with Mary, but Martha, she had it together. She really did. And he was just giving her a sense of priorities when he said, Mary, your sister's chosen the best part to be sitting and listening to me. There's a time to prepare the meal. And so anyway, okay, there's Martha. Jesus was coming and she ran out to meet him. I can imagine with haste. Mary didn't. They had to be upset. They knew how long it would take to get there, and he delayed his coming. And that was very hurtful. How many times you've cried out to God, and it seems it's the time, we all have a time frame. And if it doesn't happen in the time frame, we think, we get upset. And if we're very honest, we get angry at the Lord. And so, Martha's not holding anything back. What does she say? Verse 21, when she met Jesus, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It was an accusation. Like, how could you do this? Lord, you should have been here way before this time, but he died. And yet she's redeeming herself. But I know she's expressing her conviction that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. We're talking about the same subject here. It's Lazarus. And then Martha gives an exemplary response. She saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's got her theology down. And she understood that. But Jesus' response was, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're going to stop here, but he's asking her, what's your belief system, Martha? What are your expectations? What do you really think and believe and feel at this moment? He's asking for honesty. Well, I hate to leave you right on a cliff, but we're going to stop right here and continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you'll be able to join me. If not, you can go to the website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and they are there for your listening convenience. But as always, you might feel that you have prayed and prayed, and nothing's happening, nothing's moving, and you're getting a little upset. You don't want to say that, but you know in your heart, you don't understand why. Just like Mary and Martha, they couldn't figure out why didn't the Lord answer, because this was important. It was an important relationship that they had. Nothing trivial or superficial. And so I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this time. If you have prayer needs, the announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Judith saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.